Ladies, gentlemen, and lovers of education of all ages, welcome to another episode of the Pinellas County Schools Tales from the Tech Side, a digital learning team production. Today, I want to thank you all for joining us. And before we get into today's show, I have to say a special thank you to guest co-hosts from last show, which was Steve and Alex from the digital learning team. And we're going to have a special co-host or guest host for the next episode, which is going to be Mr. Ron Snail from Pinellas County Schools Career Technical Adult Education Department. And so with that, thank you guys for agreeing to co-host in my absence. And so for today's show, we're going to continue our conversation with our Career Technical Adult Education, CTAE, department. And we're going to focus on the CTE with our K-12 specialists. And so they're here with me today in studio. And so I'm going to let them take a minute to introduce themselves and share a little bit about the department they help oversee.
Hi, I'm Mike McCullough. I am the content specialist over the industrial, technology, agribusiness, and public service education of our department. So that, I know it's a long title, but it runs the gauntlet. So I have all the construction programs, the machining programs, our welding programs under my umbrella. I also have automobile, marine mechanics, any of the engineering programs, any of the STEM in school programs. I also have the public service education programs at Pinellas Park, which includes the criminal justice and firefighters. And then I do have one ag class at Countryside, which I'm proud of.
Thank you. Welcome, Mike.
Hi, everyone. I'm Steve Plummer, and I am the content specialist for business technology, information technology, marketing, and diversified education programs. This includes anything business or IT related, cybersecurity, game and sim, accounting, those kind of applications. Also, the diversified education part of my title indicates that I am a supervisor over all of the on-job training programs that are offered at about 10 of our schools currently.
Okay. Thank you, Steve, for joining us.
And I'm Dr. Suzanne West. I'm the content specialist over Family Consumer Sciences and Health Science Education, and this includes our culinary, cosmetology, the Center for Wellness and Medical Profession Magnet programs, our biomed and biotech programs, and our vet tech programs.
Thank you, Dr. West, for joining us. And so as we always do on this show, we sort of approach everything with a slant towards technology. And it wasn't too long ago, I was reading a book and realized that we sort of have a slanted view when we say technology, especially in today's time, right? When we say technology, we think of everything digital. But really, technology is more than that, right? It's really tools and supports that help us with either education or our job or our, you know, career. And so that's why I love having you guys on here, because the things that you guys are going to share are not necessarily all of the computer-based things when people really think about or talk about technology, with the exception of you, Steve, because your whole program is basically a lot of the computer stuff. But as far as Mike and Dr. West, you guys do a lot of the hands-on and a lot of the other training and education. And so my first question is about the impact of Pinellas County Schools transition to a one-to-one district. And so originally, you know, pre-COVID, it was some computer labs in schools and teachers would have to check out or go visit. And again, with the exception of some of the courses offered by your grouping, Mr. Plummer, How has having devices in students' hands now helped or hindered what you guys are doing in your specific areas of expertise?
I know from my side, especially at the middle school level in our STEM programs, the having the one-to-one devices was almost like a game changer. Some of the programs we use at the middle school level include White Box Learning, which is a program that they build rockets, gliders, solar cars, but it's all done in the virtual world. And the issue in the originally before we had gone to the one-to-one devices is that the students could only really do it when they were at school or at home or at, in the classroom. And now with the one-to-one devices, students went home and started – they were really engaged on, in that program. So it was, you know, what used to be only a few minutes of a week on that program, students then, you know, took it and ran with it. And so they're really, really using it at the middle school level.
I think for me in the medical programs, it's really had a huge impact because the, you know, during COVID, we weren't really able to do clinicals outside of the classroom, and being able to have the technology was really helpful for us because they, and they're just doing the research now on the ability to do simulation for clinicals on different software programs. And so with that said, I have began purchasing those type of simulation programs for the classroom. And like Mike said, they're able to complete that at home as well. So they can use their laptops in the classroom, start whatever, you know, simulation that they're working on and complete at home. Or if they're not able to come in for whatever reason, they're sick, they can complete that at home as well.
Thank you. All right. So I'll jump in here as well. It's nothing but good to have that device for the student. I'm very fortunate in my programs through a lot of hard work through this district. With our technology department, we are able to have a complete business ed lab, which is what we call it in our area, for all of our teachers. So they have a device for every student to work on in a lab that has the proper and upgraded technology to be able to handle some of the applications that we run, such as Adobe and things like that. However, the devices are give the student, like Mike said, an ability to do some things outside of the classroom before they get home. We also have a program that allows students to be able to run their Adobe software at their home, on their home computer, through an Adobe at Home program, which is very effective. So I think in the proper, you know, given the proper supervision, those devices are well used, and we also have a program just for a little cap on this, is that we do have a program in the district that four or five of our schools are participating in called the Dell Tech Team. And Dell Tech Team allows some of the students from our programs to actually do repair on these computers that are damaged by the students or, you know, accidentally or on purpose. And those can be some skills that are learned by the students on how to do that repair of those devices.
Thank you. That's interesting. It's a pretty good segue into my next thoughts, which is, can you guys share, like, what does this look like, or what does your program look like at the different levels of education? Like, are there courses or opportunities at the elementary level, and then at the middle school level and the high school level? So as a parent, how would I know that my kid is getting exposure, or when can I expect my kid to start getting exposure to these opportunities in these different hands-on experiences?
Can I jump in here? Okay. One of the initiatives that we have going on right now is, because of these devices that are in all the hands of all students, we have digital literacy programs that are at the elementary level, and they can actually certify. It's a small number of students at each school that are part of these after-school clubs that can actually certify in a digital literacy certification. And then, again, when we move into the middle school, and I'll let everybody else, you know, chime in here, but our middle school courses are generally exploratory-type courses to get them interested in some sort of technology or business or career pathway, and then they're exposed to that, and then they get into it more in detail as they move through their middle school and high school years.
Absolutely. My programs are all exploratory. They begin in the sixth grade. So they might do a fundamentals of culinary careers, for instance, and then when they get to high school, they can take the culinary program. We also have exploration of health professions and orientation to careers. So those would be the type of classes they would see in middle school before they, you know, choose a program or course electives when they get to the high school.
Piggyback right along, we're trying to create those pathways. One of the goals that I set for myself once I got this position was to create a STEM or exploratory, you know, engineering program at every middle school. But when we do that, we look at the feeders of those middle schools and try to make sure that there's some form of connectiveness to those feeders, whether it be an electrical program, an auto program, some sort of connection, so that that pathway is clear for parents and students.
Okay. Interesting. I'm glad to know that we are starting as early as elementary and continuing a pathway all the way through our high schools. And so at the high school level, I had two sons who were in the AMSAT program at Lakewood High School. And, you know, that's because they were interested in marine science and things like that. So how do our parents find out about these programs and how do they get their students into them? And what can they really expect as the students traverse through these programs?
So I would recommend that they attend these district application fairs that we have throughout the county, and as well as the discovery nights that they have at specific schools. There is a catalog online that they can view and kind of read through and see what programs are at which schools. But ultimately, going there and seeing it and meeting the teachers would be the best opportunity to get the most information and garner the interest of the students. And for them to get into these programs, it is a lottery system. They're going to apply. It'll go through the lottery, and then they will find out. I believe actually they're finding out this week about the application programs for the next school year. So they're not based on academic merit. They're only based on, you know, the lottery system and or their neighborhood if it's not an application program.
So sorry for those parents that have not applied yet, because it sounds like the period may be closed since they are sending out the...
Well, they do open up another application time for those families that weren't able to for whatever reason or they didn't make it. And they do have waiting lists and they do continue to roll in, you know, because as students, you know, if they put their first choice, second choice to something, they get their second choice. Maybe they change their mind. They want the third choice. You know, there is some room there for other opportunities.
I want to add on to what Dr. West is saying, too, is, you know, definitely go to those schools, meet with those teachers, talk with those teachers. Even though the student might have something, you know, locked in, oh, I'm going to do this, as a ninth grader. One of the things we talk about as a whole department is we're also trying to make sure that that student realizes what they don't want to do. Because once you've gone past, you know, into post-secondary and you're going down that road and you don't want to have that realization that maybe nursing wasn't for me or maybe auto mechanics wasn't for me, if we can also let the students, have an understanding of the things they don't want to do later on, that's a win for us, too.
Yeah, well, you mentioned your sons who went to a program. I have a son who was at Eastlake and was in the engineering academy there. And within the first semester came to me and said, this is definitely not what I want to do. So it's good for that. And I'll also say that one thing that we talk about is the application fairs and those kind of things. I also think that our high schools do a pretty good job of getting out to those middle schools programs. And even maybe down into the elementary and those personal visits to the schools, explaining what is offered at that feeder high school. And the other thing to make sure that we're clear on is that there are a lot of programs in CTE that are not application programs that are offered at a student's zoned school. So they could go to Palm Harbor High doesn't have an application program for business or IT. But it has a very strong in-house academy called KABAM. Don't ask me what that stands for. But it's business and management and such. And a very popular program. And they do everything from business, accounting, programming, computer science, sports and rec marketing. And those are offered not through an application for those, but for those students that are actually showing up at those schools.
So that's glad you said that. So in addition to our applications and the high school levels, there's still other opportunities based on the school location for students to still experience some of this career technical education that you guys provide.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and some of those are hidden gems. Honestly, at Lakewood, we have the ALMA program. It is not an application program. It's the only program like it in this district. Those students can be personal trainers when they come out of there. They have state-of-the-art equipment. You know, they have a food pantry. It's an amazing program, but it's not an application program. So those are the kind of things that when you are a parent, a student, you're going around, you know, really go to those schools, check out what they have, because you don't have to apply for all of them.
Yeah, start at your home school. Look what your home school does and see if that's, you know, is what your student's looking for.
Okay. So something that I heard you guys talking about throughout our conversation, and even though we are dealing today, talking to you guys, you're the K-12 side of it, and in another episode, we're going to really focus on the post-secondary and the adult education. However, what opportunities are there for students? I know you mentioned a little bit about certifications, right? Those are things that, aside from their high school diploma, that they can take with them into the workforce, right? What are there other opportunities for our K-12 students through your programs?
I think one thing parents may not realize is that every single high school has the opportunity to do enroll at Pinellas Technical College for their electives if they don't have that program specifically at their school. So we do have students that are enrolled in, say, culinary or even nursing programs at PTC that they might go to in the morning and then go back to their home school and take their courses. So even if there's something that they don't particularly have at their home school, or they're taking it a lot more serious and they don't have that opportunity at their school for it because it only meets a certain level, they can go to our technical colleges while they're enrolled in high school and still receive that certification.
And we've made a big push as a department to do dual enrollment within their home school. So students don't necessarily have to leave. So there are multiple programs around the county where they're at their home school, but they're dual enrolled. They never go on to PTC's campuses, but they're dual enrolled. The rigor is there, and they're receiving college credit, essentially.
Right. And the industry certifications that you mentioned, in my area, we do a lot of those in various areas. But also there are, you know, with those certifications come potential articulation for college credit at other institutions. And those industry certifications can be that thing that separates a student from another when they're applying for a college or for a job. You know, those are those kind of things that we offer at a very early age, offering those adult certifications. And we have a very high pass rate for those, because we prepare the students properly for that.
Okay. That definitely is good to know. I mean, I'm to the point where I only have one left in high school, and I'm waiting for that day where I have none. You know, it's not that I don't enjoy having that, but, you know, I'm of an age where I'm ready to relax a little bit more when it comes to the parenting side of things. But that is definitely great information to know and be aware of. And so I want to give you guys each a moment to think about a program in your specific area that we may not know about, or maybe that hidden gem that you would want to showcase or highlight a little bit for those that are not aware of it. So
I can go first. For me, it is the marine mechanics program on the campus of ROJ, Richard O. Jacobson Technical College of Seminole, the long one. It's Pinellas County. We're, you know, a peninsula on a peninsula. So for boating, I read this a couple weeks ago when I sent it out to that teacher. There are now more boat registrations in Pinellas County than there are car registrations. So, I mean, that is a career that a lot of these guys, once they graduate, they could be making $150,000 to $200,000 working out of a truck, you know, moving, you know, and a mobile thing. So that's, I wish we could expand it more, but it's an industry that it's hard to get instructors for. So right now I'm just grateful I have the one, but it is one of, I think, a hidden gem within our, my area.
Well, I can see why it would be hard to get an instructor, right? Because I could be making the $150,000, $200,000, doing the work. Well, versus teaching the work. And we all know that as educators, we don't get the value that we should when it comes to pay.
Well, and that's a challenge across the board.
Yeah.
That getting those properly trained instructors that want to have a passion for teaching and giving back, it's hard to find those.
So I already mentioned ALMA, which is a non-application program, but a program we just rolled out recently in this last school year is that we now have the LPN program at Palm Harbor University High School and at Boca Ciega High School. It had already been in place at Richard O. Jacobson Technical High School. This program really can change lives, because what will happen is they will have all their high school graduation requirements done by the time they're in their junior year, and that's when they start the foundations course. In their senior year, they only take the licensed practical nursing courses, which is dual enrolled with Pinellas Technical College. When they graduate high school, they have both their LPN license through the state of Florida and their high school degree. We also have a relationship with St. Petersburg College, where they are basically accelerated into their nursing program. They will complete their associates in nursing in 5 semesters and have a bachelor's in 3 years. They can get hired as an LPN immediately out of high school, making $60,000 to $70,000 a year as an 18, 19-year-old. And what's amazing about this is most of the hospitals in the area will, on day one, provide tuition assistance for them. So essentially, they will get their bachelor's for free. And we keep them here in Pinellas County as nurses. So it really helps our nursing shortage, and it helps these students basically start their nursing career, even end it, for free.
Wow.
Yeah, it's hard to pick one. There's a couple that come to mind. You know, the Academy of Finance at Northeast High School is one, and it's the only one of its kind in our area, and has been around as an application academy for a very long time. A very strong advisory board, and the program itself allows them to offer an actual working Achieva branch at their school that the students run. That's, you know, if you're talking about hands-on experience, that's it. Okay. And then one other I'll mention is something that it's the only one of its kind in our district. It's called the Academy of Entertainment Arts at Hollins High School. And this includes, you know, cross-curricular. This is art teachers and performing arts teachers and visual arts and CTE all together working in an environment where they are creating content, entering film and those kind of competitions, and always excelling. It's just a really cool program, and that'd be one that I would say is really strong.
Okay. Well, thank you all for joining me today. Our listeners, I hope you really, really got to hear some of the other exciting things that we have going on in Pinellas County School. Personally, I've said, even as a former core teacher, that I really believe that our students' interests should be driving their pathway. And to sit down with you guys and hear that we have opportunities, that's just a wide array that students can really get into and explore that, and encourage them to stay in school and you know, go through and have that desire and drive and something, and they're coming out. You guys have mentioned so many different programs where they're coming out of high school already prepared for the workforce, hit the ground running. They have certifications, and they are not, you know, struggling, you know, having to get that minimum wage job, right? They're coming out with skills and knowledge that they can apply immediately. So I thank you guys for being here. I thank you for sharing with our listeners all the opportunities. For our listeners, I hope you enjoyed the show. Remember to like, subscribe, and share. And before we leave, hopefully I can get you back, Steve. We had a conversation during the summer where we were talking about esports and a program that you guys are starting in under you. So I'm going to put you on the spot right now. Okay. Hopefully I can get you back on here and we can explore that a little bit more, because that is something that I have been interested in trying to get going and up and running in the in the district.
Glad to do it.
All right.
You can call me back when we can talk about AI whenever you want.
Oh, that is good, because I have an AI show coming up, so I can put you on that as a guest speaker as well. So thank you guys.
Thank you.